This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant Paulson does a great show on The Fan in D.C. He's been on the bench before. We get a lot to talk about in our nation's capital tonight. Grant, how you been, brother?
Good, Scott. How are you?
I'm well. I have body pain from playing basketball, but other than that, I'm feeling like a pimp. So,
how that goes.
I wanted to say one last thing, Mafia. Did you see that, speaking of pimps, that the guy, our friend Dennis Hoff, our old buddy, he won the state assembly seat in Nevada, even though he's dead. He still won the election yesterday.
No, I haven't seen that.
That's awesome. All right, so Grant's like, is he really talking about a brothel owner on my interview? Actually, I was. I was friends with that guy. He was great. I did not go there and cause trouble, though. I have standards. Anyway, tell me about the Harper deal. Is it true? Do you believe all of that they offered him $300 million and no opt-outs?
Yeah, I definitely believe that, because I think while nationally a lot of people, Scott, are making this out to be an introductory offer for the Nats to jumpstart a negotiation, I believe this to be their one offer and the end of the negotiation. It's my belief, and it has been for a while, that they would do what they had to do to save face, might be overstated, but make it appear as though they made a valiant effort and a real attempt to re-sign him. But I think what this offer says, and I think people can relate to this, whatever job you do, every time your company offers you an amount of money, it says something. It's a statement. And when you offer a guy who's going to sign for more than that and is going to get an opt-out clause, less money and not that, I think basically this offer said, if you want to come back to the Nationals, we're happy to have you back. But we don't need you, and we're not desperate to have you back. They have prepared for life after him. They feel like their outfield's in a real good spot even without him. And while they'd be thrilled if Bryce Harper wanted to stay for cheaper than he can get on the open market, they basically made an offer to be able to say that they made a one-time exchange in the negotiation, and they didn't just let him walk so that they can tell their fans, we tried.
So Scott Boras says he's a generational player. Do you believe that?
I do. I think that he has a unique skill set. He has power graded on a scouting scale, on a 20-80 scale at 80, that few players in the sport have. Look, when he was fully healthy in the 2015 season, he had a year the likes of which has never really happened before. And don't get me wrong, Mookie Betts this year in the American League did things that Harper's never done. And Mike Trout, who's the best player in baseball, has done things that Harper can't. But that MVP season he had going back three campaigns ago was a year that Betts nor Trout nor anybody else has ever had. If you look at the on-base percentage and the walks and the power and the combination of things he put together, he is a differentiating player. He can carry a team deep into the playoffs. He's a game changer when he's healthy. The problem is he's had a couple years like that. He's had far more years not like that because of not being 100%, and maybe more importantly because there is inconsistency to his game. There is a little bit more boom or bust maybe than was sold when the Nationals drafted him at number one overall. So, yeah, I think he deserves whatever he gets on the open market. I think he's going to get a record amount of money, but it's not going to be in Washington. And the Nationals, as I said, have spent the last couple years preparing to move on without him, and I think they're just fine doing so.
Grant Paulson from The Fan in D.C., do you think you have any idea at all where you surmise he'll end up? And how much money do you think he'll get?
So this is complete speculation. I think he's going to end up with the Phillies, if I had to guess. And that's 100% a guess, but it's just been my hunch all along. I didn't think the Yankees made a lot of sense, definitely not after they made the trade this past offseason for Giancarlo Stanton. I know Boras is trying to advocate for the notion you could move him to first base now. I would say that the Dodgers are absolutely an option. I wouldn't rule out the San Francisco Giants as a sleeper. I don't think the Cubs would bring him in. I know everyone thinks that now that could be a landing spot. He's best buddies with Chris Bryant. His dog's named Wrigley. I don't buy that because I don't think you can sign him and then re-sign Bryant, and I'm not sure why you would choose Harper, who's never done anything for you, over a guy who's helped bring you a World Series and who's a fan favorite. So the Phillies to me would make a lot of sense. They've got the money. They're on the precipice of potentially overtaking Washington in the National League East, vying with the Nats and Atlanta in that division for years to come. They need offense. They need power. And he's tailor-made for that ballpark. I just think it'd be a really good fit and makes a ton of sense.
Let me ask you, and a quick response from you on this lastly, because I want to talk about other things here as well. Just tell me what you think. Was he cool to you guys or not when he was there? Was he cool to the media and talk shows and the press that covered him?
Yes, I like him. I find him to be approachable for a superstar. Look, like most guys of his ilk, I mean, he was a little bit moody, I mean, but he loves talking about things that aren't Bryce Harper and aren't baseball. Like, I had a great conversation with him once about the Las Vegas Golden Knights where he wouldn't stop talking and he acted like a season ticket holder
right.
who sat in the 400s. He is a decent guy, and I did enjoy my time around him. I found him to be professional and accommodating.
All right, so now we move on to the Skins. How do you think they're doing, and do you think they can win 5 games in the second half, and do you think they can win in Tampa?
I do think they can win in Tampa. I don't think they'll win 5 games in the second half. And one thing that your listeners have to know is that they have, statistically, coming into this past weekend, the easiest remaining schedule in the National Football League. They have one winning team on the rest of their resume, and that's the Houston Texans, who I think are a fraudulent 6 wins in a row club. But they are playing pretty good football, obviously. They play them next week in Washington. The problem is, as you know, they've lost a lot of bodies. Paul Richardson is their fastest wide receiver. Trent Williams is a 6-time Pro Bowl left tackle who's out for at least 2 more games. They've lost a Pro Bowl right guard, Brandon Scherff, for the season, and they're starting left guard, Sean Laval, for the season. So 60% of their offensive line will be patchworked ahead of Alex Smith this weekend in Tampa. Smith is playing really poorly. The only thing they've got on offense is a running game, and they're relying on 33-year-old Adrian Peterson to stay healthy. Their defense is much improved, and that gives them a chance. They've been protecting the football and not turning it over, which is why they're 5-3. But I just think the clock's going to strike midnight because of some of these offensive line injuries.
So, Grant Paulson with us. So you think the Eagles will pass them and win that division?
Yeah, I do, because Philadelphia plays Washington twice. Now, there's a great chance that the Redskins hold on if they can at least split with the Eagles. And that's a possibility. I don't see them beating Philly on Monday night. That's 4 weeks away. They play terrible on Monday night, and that's on the road. I think they could get a Week 17 win against the Eagles at home. But at that point, you've got to be playing for the division. You've got to position yourself. They got to steal a win somewhere against the team that you're not expecting them to beat. There are some victories on the schedule, the New York Giants as an example. I think they can beat the Cowboys when they play again. But they're going to have to go to Jacksonville or win. They're going to have to maybe beat the Titans in Nashville if they're going to be in position. I think it's going to take 10 wins, Scott, to win the NFC. You might be able to win on a tiebreaker at 9-7, and the good news for them is they're playing the Eagles twice, being 2-0 in the NFC East, being 5-2 in the conference. They're tiebreaker friendly right now.
Grant Paulson with us on the bench. What do you think of the Capitals and their nice win tonight over the Penguins 2-1? And Ovi's on top of the league scoring goals again.
Sensational win for those people that didn't see any of it. Braden Holtby made 41 saves on 42 shots. It was far and away his best performance of the year. TJ Oshie took a stick to just above the eye, left the game to get stitches, came back into the game, took a chicken wing shoulder from Evgeny Malkin to the melon that could end up leading to Malkin hearing from the league office, Department of Player Safety. Oshie left the ice, went into the back for repairs. He's had concussion protocol because he's had a lot of concussion problems, came back out onto the ice to score the game winner with a little over a minute left. So it was a home game, third straight for the Capitals, second straight win. First time all year they've won back-to-back games, believe it or not. One of 3 teams that hadn't done that coming into the week. But you mentioned Ovechkin on the power play from his office in the faceoff circle. Now, he is at 12 goals right now in 14 games. The dude just does not slow down. He's a machine, and he doesn't break.
It really is incredible. And then the Penguins have lost 5 in a row. Let's talk about the Wizards. How bad is it now at 2-8, and they have been ugly?
They're terrible. They don't play defense. They give up 3-point shots to anybody and everybody. It doesn't matter, by the way, if you're a team that shoots well or you don't. Teams like Dallas get fat and get right against them. And you go back to a little over a half week ago against the Oklahoma City Thunder, and one of the worst 3-point shooting teams in the NBA. They torched them from behind the arc. It's a lot of uncontested, easy looks. There's no such thing as a bad shot right now against this team. And they're giving up well over 100 over their last several games. And a lot of the time when they lose, it's not competitive. Scott Brooks is under contract, you know, for 2 years after this year. And because he makes $7 million, I don't think he's going anywhere. John Wall's on a supermax contract. You know, Bradley Beal is high paid. Otto Porter makes $26 million a year. They have painted themselves into a corner with general manager Ernie Grunfeld, who still has a job after years of mediocrity or worse. And they don't really have options or assets. I don't know what they can do other than if they decide at some point to hit detonate and try to get in position at the top of the board to take one of the college sensations that could turn things around if you build around that player and, say, Beal or Wall, whoever you choose to keep as the core guy. But I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're going to ride it out. You know, in the past, they've gotten off the starts, not quite this bad, but poor, where John Wall becomes the player of the month in December and they go on a crazy run. And I think they're going to put their eggs in that basket. But there's one team before tonight with a worse record in basketball than the Wizards, and it was the Cavs. What a difference a year makes.
I mean, it is unbelievable. To me, it's like watching them now. I know it sounds crazy, but it's like their season's already over. I mean, it's like, I know they have.
It feels that way, dude. Scott, I'm telling you, we can't. I mean, you've done radio for so long at such a high level. You know this, but we can't talk about the Wizards. Today is the most we talked about them on our show in D.C., just basically, and the idea was, wow, this is worse than we even thought.
Right.
But the interest has waned to an extent where it's Redskins. Now that the Caps are cup champs, some Caps, you can kind of mix in some Bryce Harper news here and there. But the one thing that you are taking a risk doing on the radio is talking about the Wizards.
Wow, that's crazy. Grant, great stuff. We'll see how things go over, like, the next month for him. Capitals look good tonight. Skins Tampa on Sunday in the Gulf Coast down in Florida. And we'll see where Mr. Harper ends up. And I did work out with him once in Vegas, and he was cool and a normal guy. And he loves it there, and he always has. I'm not surprised at all. He loves the Golden Knights. But we'll see. It's going to be very interesting to see what he gets, the kind of money, and where he ends up. Grant, always a pleasure. Thanks for coming on the bench.
Yeah, my pleasure, Scotty. Take care, man.
All right, Grant Paulson from The Fan in D.C.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.